Well, good, Ben. Getting a thumbs up from Ben. That's great. Thanks to Matt and the band for leading us there. It's so good to be able to gather together as God's people and sing His praise and remind ourselves again of all that He is and all that He has done. He truly is an amazing God. My name is Dave. I'm one of the pastors here, and it's good to be back after a couple of weeks of annual leave. To all the visitors with us tonight, I just extend Michael's welcome to you. It's great that you're here with us tonight. Say hi after the service. If I haven't said hi to you already, make yourself known to us. That'd be really great. If you are one of the folk who are wanting to sign up or help out with kids' ministries, Michael mentioned it in the announcements, but I'll be in the office after the service for a little bit to help out with blue card forms for Lyndall there. So she couldn't be here tonight, but I'll be able to help with that as well. What we're going to do tonight, we're going to look at a passage of Scripture from James chapter 4. So if you've got a Bible there, you'll need that. James chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 13. But we'll get to that in a minute. So just get it ready. Have it there ready to follow along. If you didn't bring a Bible, there are some in the little grates under the seats. If you can't find one there, we'll have it up on the screen as well too. But it's good to have it in your hand so that you can follow along. what I'm going to do, I'm just going to quickly pray and then we'll get stuck in. Father, as we come to your word tonight, we ask that you might prepare our hearts to hear from you. Father, may our minds be free from distraction or anxious thoughts. Lord, may we hear your Spirit's voice tonight. Father, I just pray that we would hear your voice and yours alone. Thank you that you are here with us tonight by your Spirit. Thank you that you are a God that reveals yourself to us, a God who wants to be known. Father, we just want to draw closer to you tonight through your word. So speak to us now, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I didn't say Happy New Year when I started. Happy New Year. It is a new year. Matt mentioned that as he got off the stage there. Another year's gone. Another year has come. The older I get, I'm getting pretty old now, the years seem for me anyway, I don't know if this is your experience, but they seem to roll around faster and faster every year. One year ends, another one starts, and like clockwork, we kind of just begin again. It all just sort of happens. This is kind of that cool bit of time just at the start of the year. We've just had holidays, we've just had Christmas, a little bit of a slower time, a little bit of a happy time with family. And now's the time we kind of start to get organized. We get all our things in order for the year. We make our plans. We set our goals for the year, for the new year. Some people use this time for New Year's resolutions. And then, bam, before you know it, we're into the end of January and we're well and truly into it. We're running along that circle of life, as they say. I think it was Elton John that captured that sentiment best for me in the idea. That song that he wrote for Disney's The Lion King. I'm pretty sure everybody's seen The Lion King by now. You remember the one, the Circle of Life song, the big one from the soundtrack there? Let me read some of the lyrics here. He says, "From the day we arrive on the planet and blinking step into the sun, there's more to be seen than can ever be seen, more to do than can ever be done. There's far too much to take in here, more to find than can ever be found. But the sun rolling high through that sapphire sky keeps great and small on the endless round. It's the circle of life. It moves us all through despair and hope till we find our place on the path unwinding in the circle of life." Now, if you can follow the kind of thought there and catch what he was trying to say, it does seem a bit like at times, or that time itself circles around us. Seasons come and seasons go, years end and begin, and we do our best to find our place within it. Kind of seems the way everything just turns around. But I think there's a contrary perspective to that, one that the Bible explains and makes clear for us. And that is that time doesn't actually circle around. Time doesn't just circle around. It extends out in a straight line for all eternity. And the biblical view on time is that on this straight line, we do find our place. the place and time that God has set for us. The biblical view is of time that we wake up on that straight line of eternity to a new day, each day, not because of some natural law or necessity, not because of mechanics or some courtesy of nature, not because of our own right or choice, but we wake up each day. We woke up today, and we are here tonight on that line of time that stretches out in a straight line for all eternity. We are here today, but by the grace and mercy of a loving Creator God. That's the biblical view of time. It's a distinctly biblical, distinctly Christian view of time. That it's a gift from God, it's created by God, and therefore, like all of God's good gifts, we shouldn't take time for granted. We should steward it and use the time that God has given to us well. And tied in with that, or wrapped up with that, is this notion of the passage of time. And it shouldn't cause us panic or anxiety in our lives if we understand it biblically, if we understand it correctly. Certainly, we're not to presume upon time and take it for granted. The psalmist writes in Psalm 90, verse 12, "Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." The biblical view of time explains to us that it's... I'll put it another way. What the psalmist is saying there is that a wise man or a wise woman is one who thinks carefully about the frailty of their human existence and about the nature of time and its passing. We need to understand that biblical view of time. And I mentioned that up front before we get to James tonight, because I think it will help us in our text. James is going to give us some really practical advice as we come to this time of year where many of us make our plans, when we set our goals for the year, when we make our agendas, when we kind of work out the flow of what 2015 is going to look like. This is the time for us now that most of us would plan and do all of that. And James has got some practical advice on how we can plan with a right view of time in mind. So turn in James chapter 4 and verse 13 with all of that biblical view of time in your mind. And let's read together what he says. James chapter 4 verse 13. We're only going to read four verses tonight, just to verse 17. And he says, "Now listen, you who say, 'Today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money,' why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, 'If it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that.' As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins." We need to say up front that there's nothing wrong with planning. This passage in James is some fairly practical advice about how to plan properly, how to plan with the right perspective on time in mind. James is not saying that there's anything wrong with planning. So that's a bit of a relief to everyone like me who's already started to plan. I think it's right and proper for us to make plans. There are things that we need to do this year. There are places we need to go, people we need to see. There are jobs and responsibilities and things that we need to attend to. And the Bible is filled with many examples of why it's important to make plans. On the fact that it's actually wise to do so. God is not opposed to our making plans. So the problem that James is addressing here in James chapter 4 is not planning. I think the problem that James is addressing here is perspective. It's certainly right for us to make plans. But the issue that he's on about here, the reason he wants us to stop and listen, is because we need to plan with the right perspective in mind. He mentions in verse 13 there and verse 15. Verse 13, he says, "This is what you say when you plan." This is how we normally plan. And then in verse 15, he says, this is how you ought to plan. This is what planning with the right perspective in mind looks like. That's what he's on about. He's on about planning with the right perspective on time, the right perspective on our place in that biblical understanding of time. So let's begin then with the wrong perspective. He gives us that up front. Verse 13. What's the wrong perspective that we can have when it comes to our planning? It says there, now listen, you who say, this is what we normally say, today or tomorrow we'll go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. All right, so straight away it seems like he's talking to merchants or business people, since they're making plans to go here or there, conduct some business and make money. So some of you already, I've lost, because you're like, well, Dave, I don't run a business. I'm too young, not interested in making money yet. Mum or Dad are still feeding me. Everything's sweet. Don't switch off yet, because I think at some point or another, we've all made similar plans. We've made similar goals. I remember back to when I was younger and I wasn't even interested or involved in making money, but I would plan, I would have goals, I would have dreams, things that I wanted to do. And we do plan from a young age. It's almost goal setting 101 that we read there in chapter 4, verse 13. I remember in school we were taught about setting goals and making plans. It was kind of drummed into us. For our plans to be legit, for them to be kind of decent actual plans and goals, they needed to be attainable, realistic, and set within a time frame. Attainable, realistic, and set within a time frame. And the people that James is talking about here in verse 13, it sounds like they were listening in that class. You know, they've ticked that off. They've got a clear goal in mind on what they want to do. They're going to go here to this city or that city. They're going to set up a business. They're going to stay there for a set amount of time. They're going to stay there for a year. And their aim is they're going to come back with some money. They're going to earn some money. It seems pretty routine. It seems pretty natural and wise for a merchant or a businessman or someone to make that sort of a goal. So why is James getting so fired up? Why is this the wrong perspective? Why does he get serious and start off in verse 13 and say, now listen? He's kind of catching their attention. He's saying, hold up a sec. Pay attention. Hang on a minute. He wants us to consider the problem that comes with having a wrong perspective behind our planning. We could have the perfect structure to our goals. It could be attainable, realistic, set within a time frame. It could be a legit goal. It could be a legit plan, like this sounds like it is. But there's a danger or a problem that comes if we set those goals and make those plans with the wrong perspective in mind. What James is saying is, hold up a minute. You guys that are going to make plans, however good or great they may be, put some things into perspective first. And we catch that in verse 14. Verse 13 and 14 kind of go together to give us the full picture there. Verse 14, he says, why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. James says there are some things that we need to consider in order to have a proper perspective when we're making our plans. He says, consider these things first. You guys are going to say this, going to make these goals? Just consider this first. Number one, he says, we don't know the future. He almost says it sarcastically. You almost kind of read it that way. It's like, why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. It's almost a hint of sarcasm there. It's like James has said, you're making all these great plans, and why? You don't even know what tomorrow will bring. Yeah, here you are making plans for the next 12 months, and you've got absolutely no idea what's going to happen on Monday. No clue. What James is saying is that we need to factor that into our planning, factor in the right perspective, and that is that the future is hidden from us. Only God knows what tomorrow holds, let alone the next 12 months. That's a biblical view of time. That's the right perspective on time. Again, there's nothing wrong with making plans for a year. There's nothing wrong with having long-term goals. James is not saying that. But what he's saying is, don't hold on to those so tightly. Don't presume an arrogance when you say, this is what I'm going to do for this next year. Because the reality is, you don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. What James is saying is, we must hold that truth, the truth that we don't know the future, in perspective. That even our best laid plans may not pan out exactly like we anticipated. Because we truly don't have all the information. Only God does. We've got to accept the fact that we don't know the future. We need to keep that in mind in order to properly plan for the future. So there's an arrogance that can creep into our planning if we don't have that perspective in mind. The second thing he says is that we're only here for a little while. He says that in verse 14 there. He encourages us to consider the brevity, the frailty of our lives when we make our plans. He poses that question, what is your life? You know, how long do you think you have? What perspective do you have as you consider the brevity and frailty of your existence? And he answers it for us in verse 14, because we don't like to talk about that. We don't like to think about that truth, the frailty of our existence. Maybe James knows that, so he answers it for us. He says, you're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. We kind of get that picture. We've all seen mist. We know what he's talking about there. We went away over Christmas, or just after Christmas, camping with Kelly's folks, and we took our tent. They have a little camper trailer thing, and out along the Logan River, somewhere out Ipswich, Boona way, and it was lovely. 50 acres, Aussie bush. It was awesome. Rained for a few days while we were there, and then we had sun, and kids just had a great time in the river, and all the fun stuff of camping. And one of the things I love about camping and being out in the bush, just the nature and quiet, and just how awesome all of God's creation is. And it's great just waking up early, just naturally, no alarm clock, and just stepping out of the tent, and it's cold, there's a bit of dew on the ground, and often you get the mist that comes in after the night, the heat of the night or the rain. We had some rain there. And it was phenomenal. Like, it was pretty intense. Get out of the tent on that third day, and there was this huge, thick mist that had come down, and just because we were close to the river there, it seemed sort of really thick, really substantial. Almost like you couldn't see the amenities block, you couldn't see some of the other campsites because this mist had come down so low. And yet, that was just from a distance. As soon as you get close to it, as soon as you start walking into that mist, my kids are like, where'd the cloud go, Dad? Where'd the mist go? Well, it's here. It's just nothing to it. It's just a vapor. It's just a bit of moisture, a bit of water. Once you got up and close to it, you couldn't see it. And you try reaching out to grab a mist. You can't. It's insubstantial. It's only there for a few hours, and then the sun warms up and it's gone. James is reminding us that our life on that timeline, that straight timeline of eternity, it's just a blip. Our lives are transient. We're only here for a little while. We're like a mist. We're like a vapor. Just a little poof, then we're gone. We don't want to face that truth. We tend to lose that perspective. We try our best to fight against it. That's why our culture does what it does with the passage of time. It's why we have whole hosts of products and ideas so that we might slow down the passage of time and all of its effects on our bodies. Because we get old, and our aging reminds us of that frailty. It reminds us of the brevity of our lives. And so we put a positive spin on any talk of age. You know, we like to talk of the folk who live to a ripe old age, or say things like, oh, man had a good innings. The reality is, even if we make it to 100, even if you get that letter from the Queen, you know, what's 100 years in relation to 1,000? It's nothing really. What's 100 years in relation to eternity? It's just a blip on the radar. It's not even a blink of an eye. James says, remember we're not here for a long time. We're just a mist. We appear for a little while and then we vanish. And James says, listen up. Hold on. Take note when you're making your plans. Put all of these things into the right perspective. Because you can make plans, you can make great plans. But you can do it with the wrong perspective. James says to the people who were saying there, look, we're going to go here, we're going to go there, we're going to make some money, we're going to come back happy. They've got it all figured out. James says, actually, you're a mist. You're only there for a little while, and then you're gone. And you don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. James, I'll say this again, he's not opposed to planning. Don't hear that wrong tonight. This is not a, you can't make plans. But rather, James is opposed to planning that leaves God out. The sort of arrogant planning that comes from that wrong perspective that's wrapped up in ourselves. The kind of planning that is made without any reference to God or any reference to eternity. James is opposed to planning from the wrong perspective, planning from a perspective that makes it out like it's all up to us, like we're the ones who set the agenda for our lives. That's the wrong perspective. It's arrogant. It presumes too much of us and it ignores God. It cuts him out. The wrong perspective is proud and sinful. James mentions that there in verse 16. He said, as it is, you boast and brag. Now, I've got it all figured out. 2015, it's a cinch. Man, I'm planned to 2020. You know, it's all set. James says it's a boast. It's bragging. It's evil. Because it's proud and it's sinful and it's the wrong perspective to have. Because you've cut out your Creator. The one who's given you the time that you have, the small amount of time that you have in the scale of eternity. James says that's the wrong way to plan. He doesn't leave us hanging, which is great. He explains to us what the right perspective looks like. And that's in verse 15. Look at what he says we should say instead. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. What he's saying is, instead of acting like life is under our control, as if our choice was the only deciding factor, we need to learn to acknowledge that in all of our plans, we are dependent on God and subject to his will. And I think that's the key. That's the takeaway. That's the message for us tonight from this little section in James. If you go home tonight, if you remember nothing else, go away with this one truth. Because I think it'll help you to have the right perspective when you make your plans for 2015. Maybe you've already made them. Maybe tonight is just a time for you to listen and to reevaluate your plans that you've already made. I think if you have this truth in mind, you'll have the right perspective as you evaluate your plans for this year and beyond. I'll say it again. That truth is that in all of our plans, we are dependent on God and subject to His will. James said that there in verse 15. Even before he gets to the plan, what does he say? If it's the Lord's will, we will live. We're only here but by the grace of God. By His mercy, He has given us this day. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We are dependent on Him and subject to His will. Now, I know if you're here tonight and you know and love Jesus, if you call yourself a Christian, this truth, this takeaway, this message from James tonight is not going to be new to you. But I think if we're all honest, we'll recognize how easy it is for us to fall into the pattern of living where we take this perspective, your will, that we do this or that. And we apply it only to Sunday or to the spiritual dimension of our lives. I think if we're honest tonight, we recognize that that's easier for us to fall into that pattern. Most of us tend to like to think about all of the different dimensions of our lives or different areas of our lives in sections or segments. You kind of view it as a big circle or a big wheel. You know, we've got like a family life and a work life, and maybe there's relationships in there, or children, or health. Our spiritual life is in there. You know, you might have other sections that you put into your wheel. Finances, leisure time, whatever it is, music, hobbies. We tend to do that as we think about the different aspects or dimensions of our life. Because life is complex. We make it an easy way for us to think about it. And what we tend to do is we take this truth, this perspective that we should have, that all of our plans are dependent on and subject to God's will, and we apply it only to one area of our life. We just give it to the Sunday dimension. We just give it to the spiritual area of our life. What we need to do is catch what James is saying here and apply this truth to every area of our lives. Such that as we think about our business plans for the year, we need to remember and recognize that our business plans are dependent on and subject to God's will. As we think about our career goals, or our school life, university life, we need to remember that that is dependent on and subject to the will of God. As we evaluate our New Year resolutions, as we think about our relationships or our finances, maybe where we're going to live in 2015, we need to remember that all of those plans are dependent on and subject to the will of God. We need to apply this thinking to all areas so that we come to the perspective that our life, our attitude to our life is not, this is my life and I'll do what I want. But rather, as James says there in verse 15, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. Again, it's not wrong to make plans, but our plans need to be held against that perspective. If it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. You think about that wheel of your life. Think about all of those different areas in your wheel. Imagine it like a bicycle wheel. Each of those different dimensions, those kind of like lines, are like spokes in a bicycle wheel. Unless those spokes are anchored into a central hub, they're just going to dangle there around the edge of that wheel. And eventually that wheel's going to collapse under our own weight. What James is saying here is that God needs to be that central hub that connects all of those areas of our life. Jesus explained that when he taught in Matthew chapter 6. If you remember the story, Jesus was talking to some folk and basically said to them, why are you all chewed up about what you're wearing? It's just my paraphrase. Matthew 6, you can read it. Why are you worried about what you're going to eat or what you're going to wear? Why are you worried about your clothes? It's like as if what you wear is such a big deal in your life. Most important thing is your dependence on God and your recognition that you are subject to His will. Jesus summed it up and said that the right perspective, Matthew 6, verse 33, is to seek first the kingdom of God. That's the right perspective we should have and apply to our planning. It's one of the ways that we as Christians should be distinctive in our culture. It's the way we apply this perspective to our planning. We should be saying, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that, rather than me first. We need to be saying God first and God willing in all of those areas of our life, with our time, with our money, with our talents, with our intellect, with everything that you are. The perspective of your life, of your time, of your plans needs to be God first, God willing. We can make plans, we can set goals, we can dream and hope about what we want to be and become or what we want to do. We can do all of that. But hold it up against that perspective. If it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. In Psalm 31, verse 14, the psalmist was able to declare this. He said, I trust in you. Talking to God, it's his prayer. I trust in you. I say you are my God. My times are in your hands. James is encouraging us to join with the psalmist and say that tonight, to say that this year. God, I trust in you. I say that you are my God. My time is in your hands. My plans are dependent on and subject to your will. We need to apply this perspective to our planning this year so that we don't sin by presuming that our lives are under our control and that we hold it all together. That's the danger that James warns about in verse 17 there. He gives us that warning right at the very end. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, sins. What's the good that we ought to do? Depending on God. Each and every day. For his mercy and grace, for his love, for his forgiveness. Submitting to his will. James says if we live with the wrong perspective, we sin. Because it's proud and arrogant. The reality is it's inconceivable that those of us who would claim to be followers of Jesus would live as though life was all up to us, as though we're in control of our own will, because we know that's not true. God is the central hub of our life. If we continue to see our life through the perspective of me first and not God first and God willing, we sin. I wonder, as we come to close tonight, in a moment the band's going to come back up and we're going to sing a final song. I just encourage you to look at the words. If you don't know the song, really look at the words before you sing it, because it can be a prayer, a response for you tonight to depend on again and submit to God's will for your life today, tomorrow, this year, this month. Maybe take a few moments just now before I pray. To think about your planning. To think about your goals and your dreams for this year. Are you depending on God and submitting to his will? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word to us tonight, James. Father, we want to listen to your spirit tonight. Father, we want to come before you, our Creator God, the one who has, by your mercy and grace, brought us here tonight. Given us the time that we have, however long that may be. Father, we want to come before you tonight, Almighty God, and confess before you our sin of presumption. Lord, of presuming that our life is in our hands, that we are the masters of our own destiny, that we control our future. Father, we just want to confess before you tonight that wrong perspective on time. Father, so easy it is for us to just apply the truth that we know, that we're dependent on you and subject to your will, and just apply that to one area, one aspect of our life, and to hold back that control and that submission to you, to make more of ourselves and our life and our plans and our goals, and to cut you out. Father, we just confess that sin to you tonight and thank you for the forgiveness that Christ gives us because of his death and resurrection at that cross. Father, what a wonderful grace that is to us to know your forgiveness. Father, we thank you that your grace to us is new each day. Father, we pray that we would listen to this encouragement tonight and have a right perspective as we think about our plans and our goals and our dreams for the future. Father, may we say, your will, your way. May we submit to you. Father, let us not just come together on Sundays and say all these wonderful and great things to you, our God, and then walk out and live as though we're in control of our life and you have no part in it. Father, help us to rest in your will. Keep us dependent on your grace, that we might live as a people who bring you glory, a people worthy of that grace that you've given to us. Father, we just thank you for your love. We thank you for your faithfulness and the fact that, Lord, we can trust in you even though we don't know what tomorrow may hold. Father, we thank you that we can trust in you and rest in your plan and in your purpose for our life. We pray this in Jesus' name.